Welcome back to Law Matters here on 6NME, Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, brought to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Well, can you believe that it is nearly 20 years since the final report of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody was signed? In that event, on the 15th of April 1991, there were 39 recommendations made that were mainly concerned with procedures for persons in custody, liaison with Aboriginal groups, police education and improved accessibility to information. Today we're going to be looking at what progress has been made in this area and the fact that so many years after this date, our people are still dying in custody. Joining us now on Law Matters is Shanna Satyanath. Shanna is the Policy Officer with the Aboriginal Legal Services Law and Advocacy Unit, and I thought she'd already come on to have a yarn with us on one of our previous programs, but it is her first time on Law Matters. Welcome. How you going, Shanna?
Hey, good, thanks.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You joined ALS how long ago?
The beginning of May last year, so coming on 10 months.
And it's been a busy time, hasn't it?
It has. I think it's always a busy time, though, at the ALS.
What does a policy officer do?
Well, a lot of the work that we do, I guess, in the policy, in the law and advocacy unit, is kind of trying to shift the boundaries, shift the way that the system works at the moment so that it better protects Aboriginal people and provides them, I guess, more equitable access to services and the justice system so that they're not so overrepresented. So rather than, I guess, the other lawyers in the ALS who have to work within the system, have to work within the legislation and the policies, we try and, you know, lobby government and give advice to government and other organisations to kind of shift the policies to improve the situation a bit.
I imagine that in a whole range of submissions and reports that you do, there's a lot of alluding to the fact that this was one of the recommendations that came out of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. We're always talking about there were 339 recommendations. This one hasn't been implemented. This one hasn't been implemented. And it relates to so many other areas in so many people's lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the thing that's amazing about the Royal Commission is that it wasn't just an examination of, you know, a really narrow examination of the people who passed away and the circumstances in which that happened, but of the more systemic problems that led to people being in custody in the first place. I mean, of the 99 people whose deaths were examined by the Royal Commission, several of those people, like, you know, about approximately 30 of those people, I think, passed away from natural causes, but far too prematurely, like from health concerns but at such a young age that really it shouldn't have been a risk factor. So the Royal Commission was so, I guess, seminal because it looked at all of those background issues as well as looking at the custody issues and the legal system and justice issues that were resulting in the passing of so many Aboriginal people in custody.
So what sort of issues are you as a policy officer looking at now, given that it's 20 years on since the release of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody? The tragedy is that, yes, people are still dying in custody.
I mean, it's a horrible fact that is the case, and I think it's particularly poignant at this time because during the Royal Commission, approximately 30% of the people who were examined who passed away were in WA, and that's incredible given the population of WA and the Aboriginal population in WA. And Western Australia as well had the highest, had the location with the highest number of deaths. So Kalgoorlie lockup had five of the deaths occurred at Kalgoorlie lockup, and really sadly, the first death in custody that's happened this year, 20 years on from the Royal Commission, was a death in custody in the Kalgoorlie lockup. And I think that just speaks volumes about how much more progress needs to be made and how little's been done following from the Royal Commission. I mean, it covers so many of the important issues, but, you know, it's great that the issues were identified, but there are still so many problems with their implementation. I guess one of the good things that has come of it, I mean, there are lots of things that have happened that are great and that demonstrate progress. Last year and continuing this year, the Law Reform Commission in WA is reviewing coronial practice and processes in WA. And so that's something that we've contributed to. A background paper came out late last year and ALS put in a response issue highlighting some of the issues that we think continue and the concerns. And the Law Reform Commission is going to be putting out a discussion paper. So we encourage everyone who has anything to say, anyone who's lost someone and has been part of the coronial process, you know, contact us or contact the Law Reform Commission and just let them know what you think. I think, you know, while there has been a lot of progress in coronial matters, there's still a lot of problems with supporting family members and particularly, you know, in a culturally sensitive and appropriate way for Aboriginal family members following such a tragic event as a death in custody. And that's one of the things that we highlight as really important in the coronial reform area.
How much work is not just you but the unit actually doing in the area of coronial inquests?
Well, the ALS has quite a big role in coronial inquests, not just our unit. Our unit, the Law and Advocacy Unit, do a lot of the preparatory work for coronial inquests, and then the criminal unit largely and our unit in conjunction with our unit do representation work in inquests. So the work that we do is working and liaising and, I guess, supporting families soon after a death in custody. I think it's very difficult going through that experience to not have proper support and not know what's going on or understand exactly what the process is. And so we try and step in and provide that support, and also to like to take statements and stories from family about the person who's passed away. Often the police do the investigation for the coroner into the way that someone has died, and there's a lot of information about the specific circumstances just immediately before the passing, but not a lot of things about the personality of the person and their life, you know, before all of this happened. And I think it's just really valuable for family to share that, and for the coroner and the coroner's court to have a bit of an experience as to who that person is, so that they can properly look at the circumstances that contributed to their passing.
Yeah, it's a really sensitive area, but that support is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it just makes a big difference, I suppose, for the family as well, just to sort of be able to talk about it a little bit more openly and feel that they're contributing to the process. And I guess the other thing that helps with us being involved from an early stage is that if family have any specific concerns, they can raise it from the outset, and we can make sure that the coroner's court and the coroner is aware of the concerns that family have and what specifically they want investigated.
When the Hawke government announced that there was going to be this Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, how important an announcement do you think that was?
I think the Royal Commission was something that was lobbied for a long time by Aboriginal people and Aboriginal organisations, and with the support of non-Aboriginal people as well. And I think it's a devastating fact that Aboriginal people are so overrepresented in the prison population, and so overrepresented in the percentage of prison deaths, or custody deaths. And so I think it was pretty significant that, you know, it was a recognition that there was clearly a problem, and also the terms of reference for the Royal Commission being as broad as they were was significant, because it enabled it to be a proper consideration of everything that resulted in that, which, you know, is really, really massive. And, you know, if the recommendations get implemented and things come of it, I think that's going to make it all the bigger.
Now, I don't expect you to roll off figures and statistics off the top of your head, but you are working regularly with reports and statistical information. Paint a picture for us in Western Australia of the situation in terms of the incarceration, the overrepresentation of Indigenous peoples.
You're right, I can't name statistics, I'm terrible for this, but highly overrepresented. I know in the juvenile detention environment, something over 60% of juvenile detainees are Aboriginal, and a lot of the time that's not necessarily because of the nature of their offending, but the absence of, you know, secure, stable accommodation for them to be bailed to. A high percentage of Aboriginal people in custody are on remand. They're not serving sentences. In the adult context as well, I know that they are significantly overrepresented, but I'm so sorry, I can't give you a figure off the top of my head.
So where to from here, Shanna, with future reports that's going to be done by ALS and looking 20 years back to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody and thinking, you know, it's certainly not a milestone that we want to talk about in a good way at all, because there's still a lot of work to be done. People are still dying in custody. Where do you as a unit go to from here?
I guess, I mean, like you were saying, almost in everything that we do in terms of policy work and with the criminal justice system, it's related in some way to the commission, because of just the monumental size of the inquiry. But some of the priority areas, I suppose, for us is coronial reform. So, for example, making sure that when the coroner makes recommendations, government or whoever is affected by those recommendations respond. They explain whether they're going to accept them. If not, why not? That there's a level of monitoring afterwards to make sure that the, you know, recommendations have been implemented. So making sure that there's more follow-through on a daily basis. Another area is, you know, that the Office of the Inspector of Custodial Services, an amazing development in WA. We're the only state in Australia to have the inspector, and he goes in and looks at all the prisons and makes sure that, you know, examines the standard of treatment and care in the prisons. But we'd be really keen to see that extended to police lockups, so many people are held for a long time in horrible and deplorable circumstances in police lockups, particularly in regional parts of the state. And it'd be great for there to be an expansion of the Office of Inspector of OIX's jurisdiction to examine the police lockups as well. In juvenile detention, you know, one of several of the recommendations of the Royal Commission related to people not, like, arrest being a sanction of last resort, that it not be the first thing that happens, and that's not happening. You know, so supporting diversionary programs and supporting a change in police culture, if possible, so that other options are examined, appropriate options, obviously, but, you know, that we make sure that people aren't being arrested just because it's the easiest thing to do on a given day.
So. All right. Is there anything that we haven't covered in relation to the Royal Commission that we should mention, or do you think probably?
I mean, I guess just that, just making it, like, reminding everyone that it's the 15th of April is going to mark the 20-year anniversary or 20 years since the Royal Commission, and just kind of keeping a lookout. There's going to be stuff on to mark that day. It's a big day for the Aboriginal community and Torres Strait Islander community, and just sort of being on board with that. And also, I guess, just if people are interested or have concerns, knowing that there is a policy unit in the ALS that they can contact if there's something that they think, you know, is in pressing need of looking at, you know, get in touch, let us know.
All right. And we'll give those numbers out at the end of the program. But, Shanna, thank you for joining us today to talk about such an important issue and close to the hearts of many of our people, sadly.
Thanks very much for having me, Jodie.
Shanna Satya is the Policy Officer with the Law and Advocacy Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. You're listening to Law Matters on 100.9 FM, 6NME Noongar Radio. Jodie Hoffman with you. And we've, well, a little bit over the halfway mark of our program, going to have an interesting chat with one of our staff very, very shortly and find out all the great work that she is doing with some of the women in our community. Stay tuned.